Welcome to the Unrest Podcast. I'm Carter Coyle.
I'm Caitlin Stansel.
And I'm Madeline Green. So you guys, I have some news.
Okay.
I am blowing up on our TikTok.
That is legit. Okay, on the tombstone stuff?
Okay, so, you know, we started it a while back, and I put, you know, our intro video we did when we first started the podcast, and I mean, it got a few views, you know, and literally I'm saying this, I'm sure people watching have like TikToks where they have like millions of views. So we're doing this from a very elderly group of girls who just started the whole TikTok thing. But so they got a few hundred views, you know, and then my first tombstone one got like 600.
That's really good.
Well, then the last one I did only got like 200 and something. And so I was a little sad. And so then this last time I have 3,043 views.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
And 898 likes and 12 comments.
Dang. So you're I'm TikTok just really famous. Proud.
Famous.
That's. Madeline, when, I mean, I understand if you want to leave us and just follow your TikTok fame.
I mean, you know, most people get 100,000 views, but I'm very proud of this 3,000.
That's legit.
I think so. 3,000 people in this world.
Followers. Wait, so tell us a little bit about how we're using TikTok now. We're doing Tombstone Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes. So I do Tombstone Tuesdays where I pick two different tombstones that are funny or just interesting. And I talk about them and share them with everybody.
What's cool is, you know, some people are just so creative with what they leave behind as their final message to right? the universe.
So we did that episode not too long ago where we talked about a few of them. And so it's just kind of picking the ones that I think are really funny or interesting. The first one was Kay's fudge, where she had the fudge recipe on her tombstone. And then the second ones were Merv Griffin, who had, I won't be back after these messages. And then the next one was this man who had a shark. His tombstone was like Jaws because his favorite movie was Jaws.
Cute.
And then this week was the lady who was destined to have too many cats. Made me think of you, Carter.
What? And
then she has like a cat statue on top of the tombstone. And then after that, it was the one that says, if you can read this, you're standing on my boobs.
Oh, I love that.
So those were some good ones for sure.
What's ironic is that, you know, if they have messages like that on their tombstones, then it's someone you probably would have enjoyed hanging around in life.
Oh my God.
Like if you're that funny for sure. In death, then I would have really liked to have been your friend.
Also, what I think is cool is that some people do put so much planning behind their death and what their tombstone will say and all of that. You know, I feel like at our age, that's not something we're really focusing on. But when my grandpa passed away recently, it was just interesting how much he kind of had planned and ready to go for when he did pass away. He had like this little note of what he wanted read and
that's awesome.
How he wanted taps played because he used to be in the military. So it was just kind of cool and not something that you think about on a regular basis for good reason.
And then my mom's parents, who are like both in their 90s, like late 90s, they're like, we're not going to do anything. And I'm like, yes we are, like we're not going to just bury you, like sorry. And not have mom's like, well that's what they want. And I was like, if anything, I'm gonna at least stand up and talk.
It's not like a goldfish that you just flush down the toilet.
My mom wants to have a funeral where everyone wears Tennessee Orange, and I'm pretty sure we'll be singing Rocky Top, and she wants like a big party afterwards. I mean, she wants everyone crying and sobbing at the actual
funeral. We're going to have a little Khalifa. Where's Khalifa?
I was not expecting her. What the heck is that?
Queenie's in the background.
I love the idea. I don't love the color, the orange. Oh God.
Yeah, we are very anti-orange in all forms of orange.
Yeah, I would have to have Georgia red, and y'all need that Gamecock. What is it? Burgundy? What is it?
Garnet.
Garnet.
Garnet. Okay. Sorry. Garnet. Sorry.
You've been in South Carolina for years now.
I know.
So funny.
Well, who's got our story for today?
I have our story for today, and it is out of Topeka, Kansas, and it's the blue albino woman is the story.
What?
So I'm going to give you kind of a backstory where this comes from. So the blue albino woman begins with a relatively normal woman from Topeka, Kansas. She suffered from albinism, which made her skin very pale and her long hair white and her eyes a pink color. Due to the fragile nature of her body, she often kept her blind drawn to avoid the sun. Throughout the 1900s, people tormented her because of her physical appearance, and then stories spread around town suggesting that she glared at their children on their way to school through her windows. Some say she perhaps is looking for her lost child, but there's no real evidence to back that up. This story says one night a group of men abducted the blue albino woman because they thought she was a witch. And after digging a deep grave in the Rochester Cemetery, they buried her alive. I think it's almost like a, what do you
urban
call it?
Urban legend.
Urban legend. Said.
And so originally, you know, I wasn't sure, thinking, is this a true story or just kind of a tall tale, until I landed on James Allen George's Facebook page. And this is his story of the albino woman. The story of the albino woman is a ghost story that has touched me in the past and will again become part of my story in the future. The cemetery she haunts, Rochester Cemetery, is located on the northwest outskirts of Topeka, Kansas, and is the final resting place of my family, as it will also someday be my final resting place. This ghost story has its roots in the life of a strange albino woman who wandered her North Topeka neighborhood at night and glared at children on their way to school during the day. As a child, she had been teased by her classmates, and that taunting had followed her to adulthood, as the neighborhood children would call her names and yell insults at her. After the friendless woman died in 1963 of mysterious circumstances, residents began reporting a glowing white female figure walking in the area after dark. Often the sightings were near Rochester Cemetery where the woman was buried, and to this day employees of nearby Goodyear Tire Factory claim to see her regularly, and some neighbors see the apparition as often as once a week. So where do I fit into the story of the strange albino woman? Let's take a step back into the 7th year of my childhood. It was August of 1964, and I was trying on clothes in the dressing room of the children's department on the second floor of Pelletier's department store, where my grandmother was manager. It was time for me to get some new school clothes. I was going into the second grade, and suddenly the door of the dressing room flew open, and there stood a tall, veiled woman dressed entirely in black. Her red eyes were visible through the dark veil. She reached out a gloved hand towards me. As the arm got closer, I saw with horror the pale, almost bluish flesh of the arm between your sleeve and the glove. I let out a scream, and she froze in her movement. Appearing behind the tall, frightening figure was the small stature of my grandmother. Summing up the situation quickly, my grandmother forcibly ordered her to leave, and the veiled woman slowly turned as I crouched back against the wall. I heard my grandmother repeat, "You are not welcome here. Now leave," and the tall figure with red eyes and bluish skin silently glided past my grandmother and towards the stairwell. I ran to my grandmother's arms and watched along with the employees that had come running when I screamed. The frightened figure descended the stairs and quickly disappeared. I was to learn later that this was the albino woman who had died the previous year. I was not to learn until about 4 years later why she had sought me out. The Rochester Cemetery caretaker and his wife had a close encounter with the ghost of the albino woman late one night in 1968. As they pulled their car into the driveway, they saw a figure scurrying among the gravestones. Thinking it was a child playing a prank, they aimed the car headlights at the figure, which was kneeling before a grave. And when the caretaker got out of the car, the ghostly figure stood up and glared angrily at him and walked deeper into the cemetery. The caretaker was so upset he called the police, but the officers found nothing. The ghost's route was so regular that one resident began watching for it as it strolled across his lawn on clear nights. Eventually, he claimed the figure began to pause and gaze at his house as though it wished to speak to him. It began to pass closer and closer to the house until one night it stood at his children's bedroom window and watched them as they slept. The man was badly scared, but the apparition never harmed his children. this was not the only house that the albino woman looked within the windows. One hot summer evening in 1968, I lie asleep, my bed by the window, to catch what little breeze drifted into the bedroom. We were poor, and air conditioning was not a luxury we could afford, so a rotary fan moved the stagnant air around the room. I was awakened by a scratching sound at my window. In my groggy, half-asleep state, I thought it was my cat, Blue Boy. "Stop it, girl," I mumbled. That is when my cat hissed and I opened my eyes to see Blue Boy, her back arched, her hair on end and hissing at the window. I rolled over and looked into the glowing red eyes of the albino woman, who was standing right outside my window, glaring at me with an intense stare that was without emotion. I screamed and scrambled out of my bed. My mother came running into the room and saw the hideous apparition standing at the window. "Leave us alone," my mother screamed. "Leave us alone." My mother grabbed my arm and shoved me from the room. "I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. Now leave us be," my mother yelled as she exited the room and slammed the bedroom door. I found out that night that the albino woman had lived in a house in my mother's childhood neighborhood, and that my mother and her friends had taunted the poor helpless woman every day as they walked to and from school. I've not had an encounter with her since the night my mother apologized, almost 50 years ago now. But it is said that she still walks along the creek, and she finds her way to Topeka Cemetery and eventually downtown Topeka. She walks the alleyways of downtown and silently heads back north along a path known only to her. She once more enters the land of her eternal resting place, where she prowls the interior woodlands of Rochester Cemetery each night. Do me a favor, will you? If you're ever in Rochester Cemetery or you encounter a tall woman dressed in black with piercing red eyes and pale bluish-white skin, don't tell her that you know me or that you know where I live. I'll have a word with her after I am laid to rest.
Wow. So my immediate thought when you were telling that story of in the dressing room, everything was, that was... You know, we hear so many stories of like one person who sees a ghost or an apparition, but that was not just him and his grandmother.
It was employees.
That's what you said, like everyone saw. I mean, that is enough to make you believe if you're looking around and everyone's like, yeah, I saw it too.
As you were talking, so I had already done a little haunted history write-up, but as you were talking about the albino woman, it kind of sparked an interest in me to look up some information about people who have this condition, because I had remembered hearing about, you know, there's a lot of folklore and superstition surrounding people with albinism, which is apparently how you pronounce it. I looked it up while you were talking as well. So I kind of want to go into that a little more than the cemetery, but I am going to tell you a little about the cemetery. So it does have a little bit of haunted history with these sightings of the albino woman, and it's affectionately known as the Cemetery of Natural Beauty. And it's just really kind of picturesque. They have a lot of these really tall trees and flowers planted, these bushes planted around, and they really talk about how they upkeep this cemetery very well. But it does have over 14,000 burials. So that's kind of interesting and tells you a little bit about just how large of a cemetery this is.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
And then on their website, I kind of like this little blurb that they put. They said, "The entire site provides a picturesque setting for a final resting place. The excellent care given to the cemetery is evident to visitors. Unique features of the cemetery are perpetual care, which is included in the affordable price of property. Upright headstones are welcomed, and we have a large pet cemetery for your beloved pet. Ample acreage is available for expansion."
Well, first of all, I want my cat buried like under my chin right next to me.
I wonder how much it is to bury an animal.
Well, let me just tell you about the prices they have, because I looked that up as well. It's $30 and up, and it depends on the burial container.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I thought burials were very expensive.
You're talking about for your pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, how much room do they have over there?
Apparently, ample acreage.
Probably a couple hundred. That would be my guess.
Well, if you do it on a weekday, it's $400. You get a bit of a discount. But if it's a Saturday, it's $550. And if you need a tent and chairs set up, that's an extra $100. That's just for cremation.
Wait, a tent and chairs for your pet?
No, this is if you're cremated.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking we were getting a little extreme on a pet funeral.
Maybe you want to bring the whole family to say their goodbyes. And it's raining. I don't know.
Maybe George is going to bury Blue Boy, his girl cat, in that cemetery as well.
Well, since he had not a great experience, maybe he won't. Okay, so I thought the prices were interesting just because a lot of places don't really list their prices like that as openly online. And it does say you can get a discount. A 10% discount will be offered when purchasing 6 or more plots at a time.
Oh, wow.
So you can get the whole family in there if you want. My grandparents did the same for our family at our church.
So you have a plot?
Yeah, apparently.
And AJ does too. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Caitlin has a burial plot.
What about
we're
for
ready
AJ?
To go. He has one as well. My papa drew that out too. So yes, we're good to go.
That's awesome. Speaking of this, I just remembered a really crazy story.
Okay.
So my grandpa passed a few years ago, and then right after him, his brother passed. And they have plots too that they've had forever. Well, when it came time for my uncle to be buried, they went to where the plot was, and there was someone already buried in it who was Whoa. Not part of our family.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's crazy.
That yep. is weird.
Yeah.
Well, when I did see the plot map that my grandpa pulled out when he was telling us about the places he had for us, it did make me wonder how organized this process was and how good the records are. So,
can you guys, just for the record on this podcast, for everyone to know, I just want to be cremated. Okay. I might have said it before, Nick's aware, but I do not want to be buried. I do not want bugs crawling in and out of my body for generations to come. I want to be cremated and turned into a diamond.
Oh.
I'm going to I'll let them cremate you, but with roaches.
No. Fuck you.
Rude.
Burn it all together.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
I don't really know how I feel about it, honestly. Part of me is like, I know the cremation process is so much cheaper, which I don't want them to spend a ton of money, whoever they are. If I have children, it'll probably be you guys taking care of
them. But just live with me. I'll keep you in an urn on our fireplace.
Then the thought of just like my body being on fire, it just freaks me out sometimes too. But then also being buried and just disintegrating freaks me out. So I don't know. The whole process is just weird.
I don't like the idea of being embalmed and like preserved creepily. I don't like that. Just burn me up and send me to one of those companies that compresses your ashes into a diamond.
That is pretty cool.
That's, and then you can sprinkle the rest in the ocean, whatever. Just don't put me in the ground, brothers. Oh my God.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'll never forget when I was little, like my grandma was still young, and she had this little box, and I just was like, oh, I love this little box. I was maybe like 6 or 7. And she's like, oh, that's the box I'm going to put my ashes in. I was like, And now she's 99 and still here. We're still waiting.
God, that box might not even be around. She outlived it.
Right?
That's hilarious. Or like those people that give their bodies to science.
That's a good, I could do that.
Hold on.
Oh, God.
Have you ever heard of Body Worlds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's this museum that travels the world and people donate their bodies to be used in this museum where they like, just for reference, I remember when I saw it once, they have an entire horse's body, but only in its blood vessels or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to just see like what the body looks like, but then to think that these were real people and real animals kind of freaks me out a little bit.
The whole process is weird, no matter how you look at it, honestly. Luckily, we'll be dead.
That's weird. So. That's just,
yeah. I don't care.
Mysterious. Well, Caitlin, that's okay. Not where you were going with any of that.
But it was interesting. Back to the story, though. So as Madeline said, the cemetery has been really a favorite of ghost hunters and Halloween thrill seekers. It is one of the oldest historic cemeteries in this part of Kansas, and it's thought to date back to 1850. And something that I thought was interesting, I got from a website called Alcation, and it kind of questions that date of 1850. They said, any American history buff knows Kansas Territory wasn't open to white settlement until 1854. Therefore, any burials before that date would have been pioneers from the states, as everything east of the Missouri border was then known. They would have been bound for New Mexico on the Santa Fe Trail. Covered wagons making this arduous journey had been passing since 1821. So I thought that was kind of cool. Okay, so one other thing I found when I was looking this up, and it had to do with a paranormal investigation of this cemetery. This is where they were kind of talking about, you know, there being a lot of urban legend surrounding the albino woman, if that story is true or not. So these people went out and they were trying to investigate, not necessarily like in the cemetery, because you have to have permission to do an investigation out there, but they were in the surrounding roadway area. And this was just a preliminary investigation. So I feel like they were saying they were just trying to get kind of like a grasp of, you know, what might be going on there. And they were using all those special little devices paranormal investigators use. And they picked up something a little eerie. I don't know. Let me see if you guys can hear it. They did an EVP and it said, just getting out of the car and the only sound file we caught that didn't fit our own voices. You hear the notation into the recorder that we're exiting the vehicle, and then a male voice seems to grumble, leave or die.
Ooh.
So I'm going to try to play it and see if you can hear it.
Wait. Exiting vehicle.
Leave or die.
Oh, whoa. Wow. Hold on. I'm going to do it one more time.
Exiting vehicle.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Sounds like a person to me.
Creepy.
Wow.
I'm glad we could finally make that work so you could hear it. Anyway, so that was apparently captured here. The conclusion of their investigation is that the haunt is unknown for the cemetery and surrounding roads. Obviously, something happened to the EMF. And there is that strange male voice, but as of right now, we cannot say what we feel about this wind. What about this wind? You will notice in the images, oh, there's also some pictures that there's a black blurry bit that they caught. And they thought that was weird because that has shown up in images from other places, like in Colorado, where they have investigated.
Sweet.
Okay, so on to another interesting connection to this story. Albinism. So to give you a little bit of background on what that is, it's basically a lack of melanin in the body. It's a genetic condition and it can cause individuals to, you know, have skin damage, skin cancer, and visual impairment at an early age. So I thought that was particularly interesting because you mentioned that sometimes people would describe the albino woman is glaring at children out of her window or as what people right. walked by. And they talked about how this condition affects the eyes so much that they can have problems with distance vision and depth perception. They also have rapid involuntary movement of the eyes. So I feel like, you know, if she truly was albino, that would have played into it.
Poor people think that she's staring, but she really can't even see them. Exactly. She's just trying to look out the window to see anything. Bless her heart.
You know, she may just see like shadows moving by, and, you know, as someone that has visual impairments, that would be really kind of scary for her too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of these people have to wear sun protection, glasses. They really have an increased risk for skin and eye damage, and it makes it difficult for them to follow along with school lessons. So many of them are not very well educated either because they drop out pretty early.
I was going to say, not to mention if you look different, I mean, we know how cruel kids are anyway. And that was one thing Madeline talked about in her story, is she was teased mercilessly. It's like, if you look different, differently in any way, let alone physically. And you're just like, you know how cruel kids can be. I could imagine that would be really hard.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in Africa, this is where this condition really has a lot of stigma surrounding it. And the rates of albinism in Africa are particularly high, more so than anywhere else. And they believe this is because of a long-held culture of intermarriage. So there seems to be a very limited gene pool, and that's, you know, causing this condition more so than other places, because both parents have to have this gene for the child to get this. And it's not necessarily a result of the mixture of two races. So, you know, because this condition, I guess, is so rare and it's so striking, it's been associated with a lot of witchcraft kind of folklore as well. And this has been the basis for many attacks and mutilations and killings of people with albinism.
Oh my God. Some
believe that their body parts bring good luck, and children are specifically targeted for this type of violence because the innocence of the victim is thought to increase the potency of the talisman that they might make out of
body parts. It's messed up.
Yeah. So it goes on to say, and this information is coming from like very credible sources, The Lancet, which is a medical journal about child and adolescent health, and then the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology. So it talks about just, you know, how these people have been persecuted over the years. In sub-Saharan Africa, there's this belief that the ritual defilement and rape of girls with albinism can cure HIV and AIDS.
What the hell?
Terrible.
And this is really, you know, it really affects the people that have this condition, their mental health. I'm sure that they are terrified for their lives and already questioning their own differences in society, but then also having to worry about their safety too. And then this might reiterate a bit of what I've said already, but I just wanted to read this one paragraph. It says, while some beliefs are benign, other superstitions have proven more dangerous. In Tanzania, witch doctors have spread the myth that individuals with albinism and their body parts have superpowers. Fishermen use nets woven from albino hair, believing these nets will catch more fish. Witch doctors use body parts from afflicted individuals as ingredients in potions or as a trinket for jewelry to bring good fortune and wealth to those who possess them. And in 2007, over 70 documented cases of albino killings had been reported. By 2013, there were a reported 207 killings of albinos by albino hunters.
What?
There are people who like specifically go after these people with this condition.
That's crazy.
And that's recent. You said 2007 or 17?
That was 2013.
Okay. That is crazy. I was definitely picturing this being very like, long time ago.
And these albino hunters are making a lot of money from this as well. Currently, up to $75,000 may be offered for a set of arms, legs, ears, and genitals from an individual with albinism. And then other dangerous... Yeah, it's crazy.
That is so messed up.
And other dangerous misconceptions of albinism include the belief that the mother was impregnated by a white man or that the devil replaced the child with an albino. And then others believe that albinism is contagious. So there's just a lot of taboo, stigma, and all that associated with having this condition. And you know, I think that that probably plays a lot into the story that Madeline shared today. You know, a lot of rumors, and that's probably why it's hard to kind of point out where that story originated exactly, because there have been so many rumors and urban legends surrounding it.
Probably people trying to, over the years, justify their fear of her when she was alive, and maybe their mistreatment of her.
Yeah. And you know, apparently this is such a big deal that the UN General Assembly has worked with the UN Human Rights Office to combat these killings and these persecutions of people with albinism. So it's crazy. And I just thought that was so interesting. And as you were talking, I don't know why that didn't come to me sooner, but when you started talking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I know that there's so much folklore around people with albinism.
Right.
Let me look that up really quick.
Yeah.
Well, today for our real life haunt, we have a couple of actual real life stories sent to us from our readers, viewers, listeners, whomever you might be. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to share them. So the first one here is from Debbie Rennix. And she says, I was at a pioneer village one night, you know, just how you find yourself at a pioneer village, with a team of paranormal researchers. That's cool. We were in one building that was converted to a store from an old schoolhouse. Uh-oh, I feel like there's children ghosts coming up. The history of the schoolhouse was an old janitor started a fire there and 6 to 8 children died that night. In one room, the video cameras were hooked up and you could see the orbs dancing around my friend who's a researcher and was singing ABC 123. I walk into the room and went to a back corner to watch and catch some pictures. As I was standing there, something went in front of me, the temperature dropped, and after searching, there was no draft, no doors, windows, or vents that could have made any sort of direct cold air swishing past me. It was later stated to me that maybe it was the kids. That was one of the coolest nights of my life.
That would be so crazy.
Wow, Debbie, that's cool. That's
especially like you see on the video camera, these orbs kind of dancing around, and then you feel that like drop in the air and you're like, oh gosh.
I wonder if she caught anything on like with her. She was taking pictures, so.
Right.
Interesting. So cool. Thank you, Debbie. The second one I was going to share is from Gary Goss, and Gary says this. How about this one? At the age of 10, it was 1 in the morning, and a little while later at 1:15, weird, strange, haunting music filled me and my brother's bedroom. I dived under the covers. Strangely, I was compelled to sit up anyway. The hall light was always left on in case me or my brothers needed the loo, and we saw marching diagonally across the hallway were two lines of 12 very little people, about an inch and a half tall, and they disappeared into the dividing wall between my parents and the bathroom opposite next door. As soon as the last two entered the wall, the strange music stopped. Okay, I don't even know what to do with that one, Gary. What? I believe you, because how could you make that up?
I mean, you're only 10 years old, right?
You saw a group of little people marching in your hallway? I mean, my mind jumps to aliens. I'm just saying.
Right?
Hold on. What was that? What was that movie back in the day? The Borrowers?
Or The Borrowers? Or for some reason,
Hubbard.
Yes. And for some reason, that's my, when I read that, my mind went straight to the Indian Cupboard movie. And I'm like, for some reason, I see these little green soldiers. I'm not sure why.
Or aliens. Yeah.
Oh, or Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
Like the sequel, I think. There's like all the little miniatures. Well, if you guys have stories like Gary's out there, we want to hear more of them.
Yeah.
Or Debs.
Debbie, Gary, we need all of your people.
The little call people.
Them. Tell them to email the Unrest Podcast at theunrestpodcast@gmail.com.
So if you listen to us on the Apple Podcast, we would love for you to give us a 5-star rating and a review. That would be very, very nice of you to do.
And however you are social, we are too. We're talking Instagram, Twitter, Facebook pages, Facebook groups, TikTok, whatever the cool kids are doing, Madeline is doing on our behalf.
All right, let's see if I've gotten anything else on TikTok. Y'all, I'm up to 3,227.
Get out of here.
Just as we're sitting here, 227 people have watched it.
Wow, we need to monetize that. In the meantime, we thank you all for listening and say,
Unrest in peace.